Turn, if you will, in your Bibles today to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16, a passage of Scripture you're very familiar with. On the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus describes here in this passage of Scripture the Christian's character. He's to be the right kind of character and the right kind of Christian. And if he's doing what God has called him to do, he makes a great contribution to mankind. And that's what I want to look at this morning. Christians are to be good, but they're to be good for something. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, "You are the salt of the earth." Listen to that. You are the salt of the earth. He's talking to Christians, and he says, listen, believers, you are the salt of this world, the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? If the salt loses its flavor, if you as Christians today are not doing what you should be doing as the salt of the earth, and you lose your flavor, you are good for nothing. It's good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Christians are to be the salt of the earth. And if we are not doing what God tells us to do as Christians, and if we are not doing what God tells us to do, how can we season? How can we bring life to the earth? You can't. If you lose your flavor, if you're not doing what God says do, if you're not accepting the responsibility as Christians to live the life that God has ordained us in His Word, then we are good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. And then He says, you are the light of the world. Light of the world. Think about that. You and I are to be the light. In other words, this world is dark. This world is in a world of darkness, and we are to shine as God's light. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. That simply means if we're as Christians and we're doing what we should be doing, living the life that we should be, you won't be hiding that light. Nor do they put a lamp or light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and that gives light to all who are in the house. And then he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, today we see the characteristics of a Christian: light and salt. And Lord, I pray today, Lord, that you will open our eyes to what we have become. And Lord, that we might get our lives doing what you ask us to do. And we'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Salt, light. Two characteristics of Christians. Darkness, evil, sin. Characteristics of an unbeliever, this world. This world is controlled by darkness. Luke says in Luke 22:53, this is your hour and the power of darkness. John 3:19 says, men love darkness because their deeds are evil. John 1:5 says, God is light. And we as Christians, we must take that light into a dark world and advance the cause of Christianity. Folks, let me tell you something. If the lights go out in here, It's dark. Thank God for the lights. Our world is dark right now, and it's getting darker by the minute. The world that we live in, the world that you're raising your children in as parents, these young people here and the young people, the children wherever they might be with their parents or down in the children's church, are going to be raised in a very dark society. Darker by the minute. And as Christians, we have a responsibility. As the church of First Baptist Church of Gun Barrel City, we have a responsibility. And that is to light the world. That is to season the world. Ye are the salt. Ye are the light. Seems kind of ridiculous, but we need to remember that God has called us into a world to bring it flavor, to bring it the light out of the darkness. And through God's power, we can set the world on fire. You know, I'm amazed that when Jesus Christ commissioned his disciples, he says, "Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel, teaching men, baptizing them." It must have seemed like an impossible task. And it was an impossible task, wasn't it? Until he said, "You wait on the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon you. And with the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, then you will have the power, you will have the know-how, and everything you need to light the world." And that day on Pentecost, when the power of the Holy Spirit swept through and landed on the people, and they went out of that place that day with the power of God in their lives, you see, they came in just like you and I. But when they went out, they had the power of God, and they literally swept their known world with the cause of Christ. We talked about it this morning in our Sunday school. How many of the people, they were martyred for their faith, but yet they stood their ground. They stood their ground, and they became the salt of the world. They became the light of Christianity, and they spread the gospel all over. And we think today, well, preacher, you know, we just can't make much headway because the world is growing so rapidly and the darkness is all around. And you know, I know one thing. If we as a church and we as Christians would ask God to forgive us, get on our knees before God and confess, "Lord, we haven't been doing what we ought to be doing," and if we sold out to God 100% and we said, "Lord, here's my life, you take it and use it," he would use our lives just like he did the first church, and we would literally reach our town, we would reach our county, we would reach the world for Christ, because with God, we can do everything. All things are possible through Christ. I want you to know something right here. We see the pollution of the world. If we are light, then the Bible says the world stumbles in darkness. Look around us, folks. It's dark all around us in our lives. The Bible says the world is ignorant. They live in ignorance. They don't know Jesus Christ. They don't know the God that we know. I thank God every day that he called me out of the sin into the marvelous light. He gave me and he sealed me with the power of the Holy Spirit. The day I trusted him as my Lord and Savior, and he gave me opportunity. Guess what? You had an opportunity this morning to get up and just praise God and say, "Thank you, Lord, for all that you've given me." You know what? I don't know about you, but that's what I did. I got up this morning and instead of saying, "Good Lord, it's Sunday morning," I said, "Lord, I thank you that it's Sunday morning. I get to go to my church and I get to learn your word." Folks, that's where we ought to be on Sunday morning, studying the Word. I talked to these children a while ago about this is the roadmap for our life. And you know what? Many of us are like that father that won't ask his wife for directions. We have the power of God at our fingertips, and yet we never study it. We never open it for instructions. We just sit by our side and do nothing. We hide the light under a bushel, and the world gets darker around us, and we're sitting there wringing our hands saying, Lord, I don't know what we're going to do if the world keeps getting so dark. Well, he says in the Word, if you'll look at my Word, if you'll hide its words in my heart, then will I give you the power. Then will I send revival. You see? But yet we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. And the Bible says we've lost our flavor in our churches. I literally believe our churches all around. We've lost that saltiness in our churches. We're not doing what we ought to be doing. We're not witnessing like we should. I just wonder, don't raise your hand or anything. I don't want to embarrass anybody. But I wonder how many of you won at least one soul this year to Christ. You see, we're guilty, aren't we? How many of us just shared the gospel with somebody this week? How many of us shared your testimony? Have you even looked for the opportunity? No, most of us would be like that old mule in blinders. You know, back when I grew up, we plowed with mules and we had blinders on them. You put those blinders on them, and they can't see what's on around you. They just walk right in front of them, and all they have to do is walk that straight road. And they're looking at the ground that they're to plow. And that's the way we are. We get up in the morning, we put the blinders on them. We can't see anything but just where we're going. And all kinds of lost people are come our way, and we say, well, preacher, I didn't see anybody this week. I didn't have the opportunity this week. We didn't look for it, did we? We had the blinders on. Our world is dark. The Bible says men love darkness because their deeds are evil. Yes, our world is dark. And the statement, ye are the salt and ye are the light, it kind of seems ridiculous. But you know what? Somehow, God says, I want you to set the world on fire. And we need to do that. We are living in dark times. This next year will be, you know, you turn on your television and all you have to do is look at the headlines. And every headline, just about it, is evil. Every headline. This man walks in and shoots an innocent store clerk. This man beats his child to death, or this woman drowns her baby. And it's just on and on and on. And the world is full of darkness. That's the days we're living in. The Bible says in Romans, God gave them over to their reprobate mind because they worshiped and they served the creature rather than the Creator. They just lost their mind, so to speak, about who is the Creator of the world. The essence of sin is that it takes the good things of God, the good things that God created for us, and it spoils and perverts them into something evil. And that's the world we're living in. We see it today, and I pray for our president, I pray for our government, but man, you just pick up the, turn on the telephone and read the newspaper. Our government, you see one scandal right after the other. One person lies, this and that going on. We see it in the entertainment business. You turn on your television and you see nothing but immorality on the televisions. All manner of sins there. We hear it in the music. Oh, it just kills you when you listen to some of this music that our teenagers might listen to, or some adults in the hard rock, man. You know, I go into a place and they're playing that old loud music. I just wish I could get my gun and go, boom! Well, that record broke. You know, we can't do that, but, you know, I just like to go over and unplug that thing. But, man, we never hear the good things. And we go to our churches and we hear in our churches all kinds of things, religions today. Cults are alive. Satan's taken over in many of the areas of our churches. False doctrines are being taught. And it doesn't surprise me, for the Bible says that's what's going to happen in the end times. People come, you want your ears tickled. In other words, you want to hear what I'm doing, preacher's all right. But you're not going to hear it from me. You're not going to hear it from the Word of God. For the Bible says we walk in a world that is in darkness. It is in corruption, and there's blindness in our world. But it also says in this passage of Scripture, not only is our world polluted, but we have the purpose of God's people. The Bible teaches us that God loves you and I. You know, God loves this world. It's polluted. It's evil. It's in darkness. But God loves the world. It says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And you know what? That love expresses itself in two different ways. One, it restrains evil. If it wasn't for the love of God, the evil would just take over and completely engulf this world that we live in. And the Bible says just before it does that, and it will happen, that the return of Christ will come, and evil will make its biggest assault ever upon the good in the world. I'm telling you, I'm praying that, man, the rapture of the church takes place before that. I don't want to be here when all of that takes place. But you know what? It's going to happen. But it cannot happen, the Bible says, unless over in 1 Thessalonians, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is removed. And folks, that is you and I. The Spirit of God lives inside of us. And the Bible says, unless the Holy Spirit is removed, it can't. You see, God restrains it now through the power of the Holy Spirit in Christians' lives. Let me tell you something, if it wasn't for the churches that we have, if it wasn't for the Christians that we have standing the ground firm, it would be 10,000 times worse than it is right now. Boy, just wait till the Spirit of God is removed. And then not only that, love redeems individuals from this corruption. I thank God that we're in the people redeeming business, if you want to call it. When we preach the Bible, we preach the Word, God honors it. And I thank God that as we send missionaries out into this whole world, I thank God as we come and preach on Sunday morning, as we come teach on Sunday morning, I thank God that the Holy Spirit convicts still and touches hearts and changes lives, and people come and are redeemed. Oh, listen, see, in Acts, Peter preached and over 2,000 came at one time and 3,000 came at one time. Oh, he said, Peter preached this, save yourselves from this crooked and perverse generation. Folks, man, that's hard words, but that's what needs to be preached, that God has delivered us. He has made a way that we can be free from the darkness and the bondage. Some of you out there right now are under bondage of the devil. Old Satan's got a hold of your life. He's literally destroying your life, and you let him. You let him. You look at things, you do things, you act like you'll live forever, and you won't. And God says, listen, here's the roadmap. If you want eternal life, like I said, with the children, you'll pick it up and let the words of God come alive to you. I remember when, before I was saved, I was a good young man as far as good goes, but I was just as lost could be. And if I hadn't heard the words, by the grace of God, he gave me the words, if I hadn't heard the words in the Bible and accepted his payment for my sin, I would still be lost. But you know what? One day I just walked as far as I could walk on my own. And I realized that, man, I'm going the wrong direction. And I'll never go back towards Christ unless I get on my knees and make a U-turn. And that's what repentance is, folks. When we realize that, hey, I'm going the wrong direction. I'm destroying my life by the things of the devil in this world, and I want to get out from under the bondage of sin. I want to get out of the bondage of the devil. God says, anytime you call upon his name and turn your life around and start heading towards him, he will come in. It's just that easy. Well, how do you get saved, preacher? Well, let me tell you something. If you're hearing the word this morning and you're saying, he's talking to me, the Holy Spirit is convicting you that you need to change your lifestyle. You need to turn your life around. You need to let go of the sin and turn to Christ. And let me tell you something. You're never going to be perfect enough to do that. Old boy told me one time, said, well, Booney, when I can live the Christian life, then I'll trust Christ. And I said, you'll never trust Christ because you can't ever live the Christian life. You have to do it by faith. You have to turn your life over to him. You know what? That old boy now is my brother-in-law. He's my brother-in-law. And he is saved, and he's gloriously been saved. And you know what? I thank God for saving him. Man, I thought he'd never come to Christ because he said he wouldn't till he could live the Christian life. But let me tell you something. Somewhere down the line, he comes to the point in his life where he said, Lord, I'm going to have to simply trust you as my Lord and Savior. And he did that. If you go to church today down in Rusk, he'll be there with my sister. You know, it's great when God moves in and saves a life, restores a life, redeems a life, save someone from the bondage of sin. And let me tell you, he can do that life for you. I was walking out of these halls one day. I was going down the hall right down here, and a guy had been in our church, and I had preached the word that day, and he tapped me on the shoulder and said, well, preacher, you know what? I said, what? I'm an atheist. I don't believe a word you said. I said, well, let me tell you something. One day you're going to come face to face with Jesus. You're going to die. And you're going to spend an eternity lost in hell because you wouldn't trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. And let me tell you something. I love you and God loves you. But he's not going to force you to trust him. You go on and believe your atheism if you want to, but you're going to die upon a day and you'll stand face to face and you'll have to give an account. And God says, depart from me, I never knew you. You had your opportunity at First Baptist Church of Gun Barrel. I was there that day. I spoke to your heart, and you brushed it off and said, I'm an atheist. I ain't believing. Let me tell you something. Glorious good news. That guy called me from the hospital after he'd had a heart attack. Heart attacks kind of bring people to reality. And he said, preacher, I got saved today. I trusted Christ. Would you come over? I came over, and he said, preacher, I'm so ashamed. I trusted Christ. There is a God. He came to me in his hospital bed. I've trusted him as my Lord and Savior. And you know what? I buried him. He died about 2 or 3 months after that. But I praise God that he got saved. He called me from here one day and said, would you come over to my house? He'd moved to an apartment over in Tyler. And I said, yeah, what do you want to talk about? He said, I want to talk about Jesus. I got over and he said, would you read the 23rd Psalm to me? He said, I believe you read that day I was in your church, and it's become his favorite scripture. He said, would you read it? I said, I'll be glad to. I read the 23rd Psalm to him. He cried, and I cried. He trusted Christ as his Lord and Savior. He's going to be waiting on me when I get there. I thank God that he's still in the saving. You may not be an atheist. You may be a good person today. You may be just lost as a goose. It doesn't matter if you've never trusted Jesus Christ. You're just as lost as that atheist. And you say, well, I went to church. Turn over to Matthew chapter 7. You'll see a lot of them did things in Jesus' name. And he said, listen, I don't know you. I don't have a personal relationship with you. You see? Your goodness, your religion is not going to get you into heaven. The Bible says you need to turn to Christ. And if you haven't done that today, then you're still in the world of darkness. And the purpose of our Christian people is to tell people about Jesus Christ. You know, there's all kinds of programs we have at church. We talked about the RAs and the GAs and Sunday school. I think that's great. I think you ought to be in the class. I think you ought to be in a Sunday school class. If you're not one of that 251 this morning, you should have been. Man, if I had the opportunity, I'd be here every Sunday morning. You know, I'd be teaching. I'd be growing in my Christianity. We have programs, and one of them is right here, preaching. You come to church, you have a preacher to preach the Word. You have a Bible teacher to teach the Word. But we must rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. And I thank God that I am what I am because of His grace. Nothing more. And praise God, John said, I must decrease that He may increase. And that's what I want to do. I pray that you don't see me up here. I pray you see Jesus Christ and the words of Christ. Preaching the Word. And then there's also practicing the Word. You know, when we go out into the world, I want to tell you something. You should be salty. You know what salt does? You eat something. I like fish. But I like fish that's salty. Not too salty, but salty enough to create thirst. I bet you when I eat fish, I drink a gallon of tea. Man, because I like tea and I like fish. But you know what? That's the way a Christian ought to be. When you are living the Christian life like you ought to, when you're out there in the world, you ought to create a thirst around you that people say, you know what? I don't know what you have, but I want it. I used to know an old boy named Marty Woodruff. Marty was one of our young men that grew up in our church together. Marty was, he was happy in the Lord. Everywhere he went, he was happy in the Lord. He created a thirst. When people around him, they said, Marty, what are you happy about? He'd say, Jesus. His little boy was born with both legs turned straight out like this. Most parents would have been sad and sick, but he was praising God. He said, praise God, I got a boy. He's alive. He's well. You know, they had to take those legs and break those legs and turn them around straight and those feet straight. He had to walk in cast for about 5 years of his life. Oh, Marty praised God the whole time. Never lost his faith in God, folks. He created a thirst wherever he went. That's what you and I ought to be. Oh, sometimes we get a little cold and sniffle and we say, where's God now? He's still God. He's still Lord. He still wants to use you. And folks, our lives not only create a thirst, but they ought to be penetrating. Man, I come in here one day and it was dark as could be. I reached over and I flipped that switch. It was light. I could see where I was walking. I have come in the dark and tripped over that corner there and fell upon them steps and said, oh, why didn't I turn on the light? Folks, when we're around people, the light from our life ought to show them the way to Christ. You see, both salt and light must be applied to our lives if we do any good. There's three relationships that we as the church, our Christians, have with this world. One is isolation. Now, that's the way most of us seem to do. We kind of hide ourselves behind a stained glass window on Sunday morning and let the world go by and never think about it. That's isolation. Some is identification. Identification is where the people on the inside of the church become just about like the people on the outside of the church so that they really can't tell the difference when the, you know, it stinks on the outside, it stinks on the inside. And a lot of us are like that. We want to identify. Man, I can't stand it when a Christian won't be what he's supposed to be. Man, when I go into a restaurant and I see a born-again believer over there order a drink, Man, I want to go over and just kick him clean out the door. I said, drinking won't send you to hell, but you know what? You sure leading people there by the way you live. You can get mad at me if you have it in your icebox. I don't care. I'm telling you the truth. You ought to get rid of the stuff. You ought to pour it down the sink. You ought to start living the life that God has called you to live. If you're living like that and you're identifying with the world, and I'm praying that one day when you stand before God, he don't say, I never knew you. And then there's those that are involved. Involvement. Man, I tell you what, we've got some of the best people in this church. They're always involved. They're involved with everything that goes on at the church. The church needs something, man, they get busy and get it. You need something, they get busy and do for you. We have a funeral here. Man, we've got ladies. We've got people that fix food. We've got men that come up and set up tables. That's involvement, folks. You're doing what you should be doing. You're involved telling people about Jesus Christ. You're doing what God has called you to do. Now, that's three relationships. Isolation, identification, and involvement. Which one are you? Think about it. Are you identifying with the world? Are you isolating yourself from the world? Are you getting involved, telling people what they need to be doing? And then we have people that pay the price. Pay the price. You know, light spins itself as it glows. And as it goes, it gets dimmer all the time, the further it gets away. But you know what? The way of the service is the way of the cross. We spend ourselves. Paul said these words, I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. In other words, he said, listen, I have served Christ. They have whipped me. They have beat me. They have put me in stocks and they have thrown me in jail. I bear the marks, and I'm not ashamed of it, for they are the marks of Christ. Wouldn't it be great if someone would say, you know what, we're going to have to arrest you. You're too much like Jesus. Man, I'd go to jail for cause of Christ. I think that was a great thing old Paul said. Hey, I bear the marks of Christ. I have served him. And then you know what? As the church, it says, when you lose your favor, you should be cast out. There is a possibility that we are not going to reach the world. We're not going to reach the world for Christ unless we change the way we're going, unless we become salty again. I think too many of our churches, this is my personal opinion, have lost its flavor, has lost its saltiness. Paul said, I bruise my body and subdue it. After all my preaching to others, I find myself disqualified. You see, through identification and isolation, we fail, don't we? I thank God we have the opportunity this week. I thank God we have the opportunity today to plant some seeds in the good soil that will come up. I'm just wondering if there's anybody here that will plant some seeds for Christ this week. I'm wondering if there's anybody here that will penetrate the darkness for Christ this week. You see, God wants you to do that. He wants you to pay the price. It costs to serve God. You'll be ridiculed. You'll be laughed at. Some of you kids, young people, if you go to school and you start talking about Jesus Christ, you're going to lose a couple of friends. But like our teacher said this morning, they're really not friends if they don't know Jesus. They're going to lead you their own way. If you want to be a friend, you start leading them to Jesus Christ. You know, I may not win all of Texas in my lifetime, but I'm going to try. I'm going to do everything I can to reach the world for Christ. If that means giving more to missions, that means going on more missions. I told my wife the other day, I sat down and said, you know what? I wish every boy and girl and man and woman in our church could go on a mission trip. I wish that you could go. And I don't know why you can't. The opportunity will be given to you to go. You may not only want to go but one time, but I want you to go. Somewhere in your life, go. Do something to help someone else along the way. Whether it's a mission trip here in the United States, mission trip right here in the state of Texas, mission trip right here in Gun Barrel. There's all kinds of things you can do for somebody else. Let your light so shine, and God will see to it that it's seen. I read a story, an illustration one time about Robert Louis Stevenson. He lived in a two-story or three-story house, and he was looking out at the streets. And back then, they didn't have electric lights to light the streets. Someone, a lamplighter, would come along, and he'd light the lamps every night along the street. And his mother came in and said, Robert, what are you doing looking out the window this late at night? And he said, Mom, I'm watching a man punch holes in the darkness. I'm watching a man punch holes in the darkness. Wouldn't you like to be that man that punches holes in the darkness? You can. You can start this morning if you'll say, God, I'm just tired of living a mediocre life. I want to punch holes in the darkness. I want to be 100% committed to you. Folks, that means giving God first place in your life. That means right now saying, okay, it's going to cost me. It's going to cost me some time. I'm going to come tonight and watch these kids. You know, I'm not having a thing to do with the program tonight, but watch these kids. But I know that Jesus Christ will speak through these boys and girls. If only my heart's right. And if I come with the attitude, well, I'm going to hear a bunch of kids get up there, you might as well stay home. But if you come and you say, you know what, I'm going to watch these kids punch some holes in the darkness, and I'm going to pray for them, and I'm going to clap for them, and I'm going to support them, you never know which one of these boys or girls may be the next Billy Graham. You never know. You never know which one of them is going to go out and give a testimony and win some old boy to Christ. And you can help them by just coming tonight and praying for them, and sitting there and enjoying it and saying, God, this was the best program I believe I've ever seen. It's an attitude. My daddy used to say, boy, you get right when I give you an attitude adjustment. I got right then. I never will forget. He gave my brother an attitude adjustment one day. And then he looked over at me and said, you want any of that? I said, no, sir. I got enough right there. Illustration's fine, Dad. You did a good job. You know what? God wants you to serve Him 100%, folks. Don't be mediocre. Don't be mediocre. Don't isolate yourself. Someone told me, you know, well, preacher, I just don't have any friends up there at the church. You've got to be a friend to have a friend. You've got to put forth the effort. You can come and sit in your pew and walk out of here and never say a word to anybody. Of course you're not going to get to know people. Of course things are not going to be right to you, because that's not giving yourself 100%. When you give your 100% to God, you're going to go around and you're going to hey, I don't believe I know you. I want to introduce myself. Hey, do you go to Sunday school? If not, would you come to our Bible study class? You've got to put forth some effort. It costs you. It costs. You got to get up at 5:30 and get in your car and come back up here instead of sitting at home. You need to make up your mind right now. I'll be here at 9:30 next Sunday morning for Bible study. And if I don't have a class, I'll find one. Because I wanted to give myself 100%. Folks, that's what you got to do. Revival's not going to come to your heart until you get it right with God. Now listen, if you're here today and you've never been saved, the first step is to trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. You do that by faith. Right now, you're saying, hey, I want to trust Christ. I'm tired of being in bondage to sin. You just step out. You're never going to know it all till you trust Christ. That's all you have to do. And then you'll start learning. Come out of the darkness into the marvelous light. And don't sit there and think, since I've come to church all my life, that I'm all right. That's not the way it is. You can go to church all your life and still be lost if you don't know Christ personally. If you're looking for a church home, let me tell you something. I think you won't find a better one this side of glory. It's not perfect because I'm here. And it won't be perfect when you join because you're here. But we'll grow together to love each other in Christ. That's all I ask. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for your blessings. I thank you today that we ought to be salt and light. And if we're not doing those things, Lord, I pray that we'll come and kneel at the altar and just get our lives right. And we'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.